Hello and welcome back. Today I have again Dr. Shantanu with me in my in the podcast, and we decided to jump deeper into the whole topic of Ayurveda. But today we want to focus more on the disbalances and also on the aspect of illness and what they cause in reflection of Ayurveda and the whole process, I would say, because it's a huge topic. So, Dr. Shantanu, how do you think people recognize the signs of imbalance in the body or mind before they even manifest as a disease?
Thank you, Anja, again for this second podcast and the question that you have mentioned about the subtle the signs before any manifestation of any disease. So regarding that thing, just want to tell one thing that to never the disease happen in just a spontaneous way on just a one day. This happened by over time. It takes year after year. And this is what is important to analyze the signs of the body. Let us say in Ayurveda, we have a culture where the individual observe the body, significant the signs. Let us say get up early in the morning and then you observe the skin textures of your body. If suppose you're gonna see the texture, it is looking the rough. Earlier it was not rough, but now it's looking rough. That gives you indication that yes, there is an involvement of water. There is some abnormalities are there. Similarly, in the Ayurveda context, we have Asht Parikshas. That means there are eight methods to examine the body functions. That states that we have the Nadi, Mal, Mutra, Shabd, Sparsh, Drik, and Akriti. What does it mean? We have eight methods of examination of the body, starting with the Nadi. That means the examination of the pulse. The second is the Mal. That means the stool examination. The third, Drik. That means examination of your eyes. The number four, that is Shabd. That means the speech. By the speech, you will get an idea about what the abnormality is going to be there. Similarly, Sparsh, that means the texture of the skin and the touch, the perceptions. Similarly, we have the Akriti, that means the shape and the shape examination. Suppose the individual comes to you, and by looking the Akriti, you will get to know what the disease is going to be manifest to that individual. So these used to be the eight parikshas. Similarly, we have Dash Pariksha, that means the 10 methods of examination. And it was indicated by the acharyas that each person used to have those eight parikshas a day to examine the body functioning. So that
So that
was used to
means,
be there at earlier times.
to summarize, I can already recognize when something in my body is happening just by the function of, yeah, not only the skin, only the eyes. So basically, when I get up in the morning, I could actually already tell right now that if something in my eyes is not fine, or on the skin, or as you said, on the pulse, or in my digestion, I could already recognize a disbalance in my body. But from that on, do you notice that people, like even in your culture, lost that kind of sensitivity to their body?
It is because that the loss of sattvas, it is loss of sattvas. That means we have the three mansik doshas, and to balance it, we require the sattva. And in today's era, what the happening is that people are losing the sattva, which balance your body, which balance your psyche. And that's the reason. Now nobody's following those things. The acharyas mentioned to wake up early in the morning. It was to wake up, that means the around 4 to 5 p.m. And to have the water, then it was indicated so many other procedures to be there to keep the body healthy, and now nobody is following that. It was indicated for the anjana, that means for the cholerium. It was asked to do the nastya. It was asked to do the dhumpans, that means the medicated fumigations. But now nobody is bothered about it. Now nobody is thinking about it. And those measures, those things that keeps the body healthy, that balances the doshas. That means the vata, the pitta, and the kapha. So it's just like waking up early in the morning. Then you are going to have a water. You are going for the defecation. You are going for the urination. Then after that, you should have the dhavana. That means cleaning of their dental caries. Then you have to have the snana. That means the bathing. And they have different types of bathing. Similarly, that you have to do the nastya, then the anjana, that means applying of the collarium, that's gonna balance the pitta of your eyes. So these were the measures to keep the body healthy, because the individual, they can't go to have that shodhana procedure, because it is subjected to the vaidya, that means doctors. So these are the usual method that the common individual can follow to keep the body healthy, to keep the gut healthy. And regarding the parikshas, what I have mentioned, at earlier time there were no radiological examinations, and people, there were no evidence at all. So these were only the measures by which the individual will get the signs. Okay, these I'm having these issues. I may have in the future, I may have these issues if I'm not going to treat it properly. So these were most important things for the examinations.
Which is
Let us say
interesting.
the nadi, for example, the most important, the nadi pariksha. Earlier time, nobody was aware about the cardiovascular system. During that era, you just imagine it is thousands of years back, and during that point of time, by examination, the radial pulse rhythm, they used to get the idea about the cardiovascular system, whether it's working properly or not. They used to examine by the radial radial artery pulsation about your digestion strength as well. There were the urine examination methods for there. That means they're gonna collect the urine sample, and they're gonna pour that a drop of oil, and by the direction of the meniscus that's gonna form, they're gonna indicate that which type of disease is gonna be there, whether it's chronic, whether it's acute. Similarly, for the semen examination also. Similarly, we have other examination method as during those eras,
Oh,
and
that's
those were
simple.
that were equally important. And at this in today's era as well, we are also going for the urine routine examination, the stool examination. Let's first say during that period of time, the stool examinations were there, where by the examination of stool, by the texture of the stool, they will get to know the digestive strength of the individual, about the disease.
But do
They
you
will
think
get to
over
know.
time
Yes,
people
yes.
lost their connection to the body? Because as you mentioned before, I mean, we are used to, like, way back, I mean, Ayurveda is 5,000 years old and even older. We used to go with nature. So of course we get up when the sun is rising. Of course we start our day when the sun is getting up. Of course we start with the nature. We go into the flow. And of course it's like the animals, they also have the instinct for their natural organism. If they are sick, they feel it, either like they will throw up or because their stomach is not feeling well. But I found it interesting just by putting a drop oil in the urine to see if the body is working, which makes it for me even more amazing that we have so many pills, because you know the Western society is like you have a symptom and you get a prescription. And then you basically, oh, take that and that's it. So I always miss the aspect of the holistic approach, that they look into each thing, like literally, to figure out that disbalance. But is it in India different? Do the doctors and in the hospital always look at the holistic aspect because it's in your genes, it's in your
No, it's that the modern part that they're having the separate system, separate methods. In the Ayurveda section also, the Ayurveda doctors are also following the methods, the modern tools, each and everything. I was just mentioning you during the earlier times, that means 1,000 or 2,000 years back, what was the method of the examinations? We were discussing about the Vedic things, but in India, we are following the Western things, that the modern tools we are using for the examination of blood, for the urine, and this. I'm just giving you some clues that during that time only, it was in initial amount they were using some tools, as there was a no radiological methods to examine the body. So these used to be the methods of examination. Like a common individual can get the idea, okay, if suppose while urination you will get maybe the blood, you will that the your mind gonna stick, okay, maybe I have some issues, I have to go for the examination. So these were the signs. By looking that, we're gonna conclude, okay, this we're gonna make, okay, this system is unstable, some issues with there with particular system, maybe urinary system, or so like that. These were the tools during that time to examine.
Do you think that the tools and the way how you figure out the core imbalances from back then and now changed a lot, or is the core principle to find that the imbalance still the same?
The concept is the same. It was taken from the back, that means from the Vedic things. Let us say today we are doing for the radial examination, radial artery examination. It was mentioned to there've been thousands of years back
And it
for the
still remains. I
pulsation,
mean,
for
it's
the
7,000 years.
is okay. So I'm just telling you, it was initiated during that time. And now with the advancement of the modern tools, now people are researching more and we are getting new data. And that is interesting that still we are using the same methods with the advancement.
Well, which is
So that makes
necessary. I mean, you want to
which
balance
is
it.
necessary.
Otherwise,
Yes.
you will create another disbalance if you just
This
take the
balance.
old steps and then you're not taking your mind. I mean, even the mind for Ayurveda is so important, and also combine it with the modern technology. I mean, then you would even create our own disbalance in your own system just by not using what is already there. But do you think it has a core effect how people start noticing for themselves imbalances? I mean, not everyone has the time to go find an Ayurveda Vedic doctors, and just by telling a few examples, like what, how can people notice? Like, of course, you said just by looking into my eyes, just by looking on my urine, just by using when I go to the bathroom, check what, like, how would a morning routine look like to really say, okay, I come back to my body and actually look at it and feel it.
So as I already stated that in Ayurveda, in this concept, we have three upastamba, that means the three pillars of life, starting with the ahara, nidra, and the brahmacharya. So any manifestation of any disease starts it because of the disbalance of this three upastamba. And that means, let's first say you have decreased your appetite, that means the ahara, maybe you have increased the appetite. Similarly, if you are doing the excessive sleep or you are having the less sleep, and brahmacharya is like the right methods of living, it is having so many things, that means the viharas, you can have, that means let for say the exercises, the yogas and the postures and the work we are doing is subjected with the brahmacharya. So wherever there is a disbalance of this thing, gonna manifest any disease. And the question that you have asked, how are we gonna see to it other body? So as an individual specific, let's first say somebody whose digestive strength is not good is feeling that I have lost my appetite. So that gives you an idea that the patient Agni has got diminished. So definitely the person will have issue related with the digestive system. And correlating with other signs and symptoms, let us say the person is having constipation as well. That indicates you that Vatic factor is there in the body. That means Vata is involved with there. Maybe if the individual is having maybe like a swelling in the abdomen, we can indicate okay, cough is also involved there. And maybe parallel to it, maybe Pitta also gonna be involved. So you will see some burning sensation or maybe itching gonna be there. So these are these signs, and we can't go in the deeper aspect. But the only thing what we can do, because I know that the audiences, they are not the Ayurvedic doctor, the physician. Only thing that we can do is by keeping the precautions. And for that, the acharyas have mentioned the sadvitra, the brahmacharya, and the tripastamba. That means the balancing of tripastamba. It is having a broader meaning, and which we can't discuss a lot.
Well, we can not, well, technically, of course, if you go deeper into the modern lifestyle and you contribute to the doshas, what you mentioned before, and then take it as a practical step, like how to bring it back into harmony. I mean, people, of course, once medicine comes, people think in diseases. Once you label them with the diseases, people identify with the diseases. Once they identified with the disease, it's even more manifesting and showing in the body. But how to basically take the cycle back from the body and say, okay, we'll take the imbalance, take it back to the harmony, because then the disease will automatically go out of your head. You know what I tried to tell?
Yes, I got your point. Absolutely right. And like to balance the doshas, that is the main aim of this Ayurveda world, to balance the doshas, to balance the dhatus, to balance the malas, and it should be in the satmi, it should be in the samyavastha. That means it should be in the equilibrium. In today's lifestyle, what is happening that the people are consuming the gramya ahar, that means the fast food more, maybe their lifestyle, they are not having a good sleep, they are having some nonsense actions which are affecting to their bodies, they are consuming some nonsense things. And what actually happens that year after year, year after year, the disbalance of doshas is reaches to that level that it causes you some maybe some chronic issues. And let us say initially the disease or the health issue gonna started with the one dosha, let us say with the pitta. Slowly the pitta gonna be with the kapha, gonna vitiate the kapha, and the kapha and the pitta gonna vitiate the vata. That becomes the three doshas of vyadi. And whenever the three doshas are involved in any diseases, it becomes chronic.
And then it's harder, and it takes longer to cure.
It is that's the reason it takes longer time to heal, because it has happened not just in the 1 year. It's like year after year, year after year. We have not followed the diet, we have not followed the sleep cycle, we have not followed the brahmacharya. That definitely gonna give you major health issues.
Definitely. But how do you think, is it aligned with the emotional and the mental state? Is that like, I always have the feeling that in Western, we basically separate it. Like, we either do mental and emotional, but for us, it's not aligned. It's because it both has an effect on our body. How is Ayurveda treating those disbalances? Because normally, from my perspective, and when I just think back in my consultations, when I went into Ayurvedic consultation, of course they look on the whole body and they look on the whole diseases, but I never really had the feeling they jump really deep into the emotional part. Or is it because you are so aligned and grounded that you just look at the whole picture and I'm just focused on that one thing which is happening in my mind, which I probably don't realize that it has Vata Pitta Kapha, and it has an effect on the whole body.
So the thing is that the first thing you have to balance the three doshas, as I've already stated. And like in today's the question that you asked about the emotional and like how this is gonna affect the body, how this is gonna manifest the so the answer to is that in the Ayurveda, it has never been asked to take the consume the food once you are emotional, once you are in grief, once you are in anxiety. It has
Got it,
never been
got it.
indicated when you are in
Okay.
sorrow. It's never been indicated. Why? Because I'm gonna give you an example that let's say that you are in anxiety, or maybe you are too aggressive in a situation. You had anger on someone, and then also you are consuming the food. And anger, that means the agni, that means the fiery thing. So this is gonna disbalance the pitta, and you will see that if the individual gonna intake the food, gonna hamper the pitta, which is the pitta, and you will see the individual will have issues related with the pitta, maybe gastric issue.
That gives me
Usually happens.
goosebumps already because it shows how important it is in which state of being and in your mind you start even eating. I mean, when I have a whole movie going through my whole life just by analyzing, it's like, whoa, I was not aware that I had so many situations where, of course, when you're a kid and you're angry, and then it's like, sit down and you eat, and they force the children with the anger to eat. And that already causes a state of disbalance in your body. I mean, imagine that. That's already, ooh, that's even a huger topic than I thought before. So the awareness already starts before, not just by
So,
eating.
like, so it was indicated that you should be in Samyavastha while taking the food. That means you
That
should
means calm.
not calm. You should be calm while taking, and you should take the food while sitting. There used
Yes,
to
of
be there is
course.
an posture in the Indian culture to sit and to take the food. You should be cool. You should not watch the television. You should not use the telephone, mobile cell, anything. You should focus on the food. And you should start taking food with the madhurasa. That means you should take the sweet things first. That means your diet should start with the sweet things first.
Why? I knew it. I knew it. I was always doing that right because I literally always started with it. I always wanted to start with dessert first. No, I can't even tell you why. And everyone's like, "Why are you crazy? You, why can you eat dessert first and then the main course or whatever? Why is that?"
It is because once you will take the madhurasa, that means the sweet in taste, this is gonna increase your appetite.
It opens
So
up.
that it just like it's open up. So you will consume food.
I like that.
That is the reason. And most of the people, what they do, they consume sweet at the last in the form of dessert or maybe. So
Yeah,
it
look at
should
the
not be
Western
like
part.
that.
We
But
have the dessert always first. So you basically should start with the sweets always first. So you open up, so you expand yourself and the whole system. And then, yeah, of course, because if you have, what is it, bitter and sour, it makes the body put back into like go out of the relaxation state into the how you call it in English, expand, and the opposite of expand. Interesting. But what is that also written in the Vedics, like those procedures?
yes, this absolutely has been mentioned. You can see the Matra Sutra Adhyaya of Charak Samhita. You will get all the information about the diet, what should be there, what not should be there. And especially one more thing, especially in the Western culture, what I have observed that the people are not following the right life, right methods of living in the sense like was never indicated the adharanya vegas. That means you should not suppress the natural urges. It's not about the Western culture. In India also now people are suppressing the natural urges. That is also one of the cause of manifestation of any disease. There are 13 vegas are there. Na vegan dharet vat pidmu shavtrid mudrakashtam asmuhati repsam. There are 13 types of that means non-suppressor vega, starting with the like that was say the sleep. You should not control the sleep. You should not control the yawning. You should not control the defecation if you have the urges. You if you have urge to vomit, you should vomit. If let us say dritsam, that means if you have the sexual excitement, you should not suppress. Similarly, we have 13 types of adharanya vega, that means that those should not be suppressed. For example, if you are suppressing the urge to vomit, that causes you urticaria or maybe urticaria rashes, maybe skin issues. So if you are suppressing your pop, that gonna gives you much maybe the migraine, maybe the headaches. It's already been mentioned in Charak Samhita.
Which is amazing, because the reason I was smiling, because it totally reflects on myself, because I was in a phase in my life where I tried to control everything, like literally everything. And you probably know that from many Western, from your clients, they try to control everything instead of, as you said, let go. If I have the impulse, I follow it. If I want to do that, or if I'm hungry, or no matter if I want to cry, if I want to scream, I let go. And that's what I actually admire in your culture or in some other cultures, because I have the feeling I can only talk about the like the bloody Germans and for myself, because we were not raised like that to really show that emotion. Of course, when we are kids, we are like they say, like, yeah, you scream, you can cry, you can throw up, you can do whatever you want, basically. But the more you come into school, you have to behave. So that's where it already starts, where people or parents or society puts basically a lid on top of you. And basically, that's where it already starts to get it in disbalance. I mean, that's actually a really huge topic that I actually didn't think about it, that it would go so deep. Because, yeah, of course, you should control those energies and you should let it go. But do you notice that it is similar in other countries or only in the Western, or is it more with women? Because we try to control. I always figured out it's either way, depending how you grew up and how people.
Let us say, if you have asked about the females, that if suppose a female who's having urge to urinate and she's holding that thing, maybe due to meeting or maybe due to any of the thing, you will see maybe that that woman gonna have some maybe menstrual issues, maybe
of
some
course.
itching.
Of course.
So these are like maybe the issues related with that. And you should not control the urination. You should never control the urination. If it's required, you should go. You should go to pass it. You should not keep. And this is not about the Germany, it's not about the Western. Actually, this is following everywhere.
So
it's
you notice
the,
that everywhere, that people start
everywhere.
To really,
in India
really,
also,
really lose. Yes, of course.
In India also, everywhere is common. It's common.
Yeah, so just by living such a stressful life and everything needs to go faster, faster, faster. Of course, I admire technology and the way we stand and to have communications like that, but also to, as you say, take a step back and really follow the body. What does it need at the moment? And honestly speaking, I was the master of forgetting my body, because I was like, there's so much going on. And then you're overwhelmed. And then you're like, oh my God, there's this sign and there's another sign and there's another sign. And it can be overwhelmed. But do you think that it is also a problem of the people, that they get so stressed out and that they don't know what to do because there are so many things going on in the body? I mean, it's complex. You have, let's say, an emotion is popping up. Yeah. It causes me anxiety or it causes me anger and I would like to start crying. But let's say I'm sitting in the middle of a meeting and there it already starts. Try to control myself instead of saying, okay, I have to drop out and say, let's go, let's get this running. Probably I already have my menstrual cycle also, so which causes another issue in my body. So I have basically two centers which are already in disbalance and I just walk over it. And so many people do it over and over and over again. But what is your, do you have a suggestion in those situations? Like, what do I do in those situations? I'm honestly a person, and then I jump straight into the pit. I just go over it. I ignore it all and do the meeting, and that's it.
The answer to your question is that what do you think? What is most important to you, the meeting or your body?
Yeah, me. It should be me first.
Obviously, the
Me,
body,
always.
the
Yeah.
body is the most important thing. And
Yeah.
in today's era, nobody's caring about their body, and that is
Exactly.
the issue.
Yeah.
And that is the
Yeah.
issue. That is the only issue. Once
Yeah.
you think about your body, that what thing is right for me, for my body. Because whatever we are doing is to keep ourselves healthy. That should be our objective. So this is the answer of that question. It is required, it's required to move from that place, and because you won't be able to concentrate properly. Let's suppose say you are in that you want to cry and your two systems are not working. Obviously, you can't sit in the meeting to concentrate particularly. You won't be able to give your 100% to that work. So that is the answer to your question. If it is required to urinate and you are still controlling, that won't make a sense. Because you are not
Yeah.
involved, you are not giving your 100% to that work.
Yes, definitely. Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And I noticed that, not even from myself. I noticed it with my clients. Well, you probably notice it everywhere, but that's actually a huge topic because that's basically where the whole disbalance starts. That's basically where I noticed, not even in my work as a sexual therapist, where people lost it to really listen to their body and to really say, oh, okay, there is already something there. No matter if it's in a good way and they think, oh, I have to take it back now because it's not the right place where you sat. Or it's in a bad way. It's like, oh, it's not appropriate to show because we are so focused on the outside. I mean, I noticed that not, yeah, in every society, people are so focused on what do people think from me when I do this? What do they think from me when I do that? And that's interesting because it's in, as you said, it has no meaning in cultural thing. It's every human being has that. Every human being is that. But even as a doctor, do you always, and not even the doctors always have time to focus on things like that. I mean, let's say you stay in the emergency room and you do a surgery and something is popping up and no other doctor is there. Of course, you would not put your body first. You stay with the body you're basically helping out with. I mean, then you already have a kind of, well, I would not say disbalance, I would say a discrepancy how you say in your medical way, or do you think it can come back naturally? Like I was just wondering if people can have that state of flow in their mind, in their soul, and in their body that it just flows so naturally because when everything is functioning and everything is open and the doshas are balanced and the body's balanced and the all the energies are balanced. Do you think it has an automatic effect on the, on people's life?
Definitely, definitely. If suppose your shari, that means your body, your soul, your indriyas are working properly, they are in coordinated motion, definitely you're gonna do that work 100%. That means outcome of that energy gonna be 100%. And in case if there is not conjunction of the atma, the sharir, the buddhi, the indriyas, the sensory part, you won't see the action 100%. That gonna affect.
So what
And
would you say are the
the three doshas, the manasik doshas, they are interlinked with each other. As I already stated that let's first say somebody who has disbalanced the pitta. Okay. So that gonna trigger the three manasik doshas are there, the sattva, rajo and the tama. Sattva is not considered to be dosha, but yes, Tamacharya they have included in the dosha. So that
What is sattva?
aggravated pitta, they are manasik doshas. There are three manasik doshas. The sattva, that means it is the right form of living, it is like a sand. The rajasic, that means a royal, a king-like factor, the aggression is there. Similarly, with the tama, that means us maybe a sinful or mischievous person. So these the three characters are there, the three doshas. And let's suppose if somebody who's the pitta is vitiated, you will see that his or her rajasic character gonna be increased. So if a pitta individual, you will see he's gonna be short temper or more aggression gonna be there.
Of course.
And similarly, that action, if this person is very aggressive, maybe he will have actions like that, and that's gonna affect the health as well.
Yeah, it's like everything has an effect on the life. I mean, it's like just by the beginning of our conversation, when I think back, it's like, as you say, you open your eyes and then it already starts with the body. It's like check in with your body. It's like everyone should do that. As you said, watch the skin, watch your eyes, watch what you eat, how you think, how you feel, where do you feel, gives you a good feeling, a bad feeling. I mean, it has so many effects. But do you think it helps people to take a step back and reflect more on how they move through their day? Because I also have the feeling people are having a problem with that as well.
Can you please repeat what you have said?
I said people have a problem to really reflect their bodies, not just the because when they go to you, of course you give them basically prescriptions like, okay, listen, look at your sleep, look at this, look at this, look at this. Yeah. But most of the people, I have the feeling they hesitate to first go to someone. Sometimes they just take, as you said, of course they take the value out of the conversation. So what is it what you would suggest to people? Of course they should come see you, of course, but other than that, just take a step back and reflect on your body, like how you move, how do I feel in this situation? Or is there anything else they can do?
It's just like you have to, the firstly, as I have stated, the Ahar Nidra and the Brahmacharya, they're following that, the three doshas, the three malas, the Sapta Dhatus, the constitution of the body, the psyche, that means the sattva. This constitute a body or healthy body. If these factors gonna be disturbed, it's gonna give you health issues, and the aim should be balancing these factors.
It's interesting, and that's why I love Ayurveda, because it's basically, once you understood it, it's simple. Like, sure, it's complex, but once it's simple, it's like a circle. It's always like, no, I try to find like, you notice I jump here and I jump there, but I always come back to that circle where I was like, loop where I can have an exit or I miss a part. Like, it will always have that holistic approach and it will always have that deep meaning and understanding of your body and the elements of nature, which I actually love. Is there anything else you would like to mention about this balance where you feel like, no, we should really consider that as well?
It's just like, firstly, you have to analyze your body. It means what prakriti you are. The first factor. That first day, if I'm a Vatic person, so you're gonna see that individual will have more motions. Maybe his skin is dry. There are so many other characteristic features are there. His digestive strength gonna be Vishamagni, maybe irregular bowel habits. So these are the characteristic features. And it's not just like the individual is going to be a pure Vatik or Pitik or Kaphik. Maybe the individual is going to be Vata Pitta, Pitta Kapha, Kapha Pitta. So these are the combinations. So Individual should analyze that what the prakriti is or her belongs. And after that, the person should have a diet. That means the ahar, as I've stated, the sleep cycle, the brahmacharya, what tatri method should follow, what viharas should be there for the vati characteristic, for the pitta, for the kapha, let us say for the vata individual. It is indicated to have some oily foods or unctuous food, because vata is dry. Hot, that means if the food should be hot in the nature, his actions, he should never be suppress the urges, because suppressing the urges is going to aggravate the vata. He should not do much exercises, because this is going to aggravate the vata more. And the particular individual gonna be much prone to the vatic disorder, vatic health issues.
Yeah, so no matter from which side you're coming, it makes totally sense to really analyze the body and to put the body first. I mean,
this is
yeah.
Similarly for the pitta, for the kapha individual as well, you have to analyze. Let's first say the pitta individual, you're gonna see very oily skin, maybe his vision may be good. You're gonna see maybe 6x6, and so pitta and the diet should be, it should not be the hot and pungent, because it is the same qualities that individual is having. So he should take opposite to it. He should take the cold foods, cold nature. That's gonna have that gonna specify the pitta, aggravated pitta.
That's so interesting. I could.
Similarly for the kapha as well, because kapha is what, it is having the dull nature. Individual gonna be dull. That means the skin texture gonna be dull in the nature, and gonna be the person gonna like the cold things more. So should intake the food which is opposite to the kapha, and vihara should be like that only, so that we can keep the thing balanced. So that should be the objective, to balance it. You have to choose the season. You have to see the season, what the season is of, because each
with
season
the nature.
Let's say the kapha and maybe like vata is aggravated in the rainy season. So in rainy season, it's never been indicated to take the leafy foods or greenish foods, because that's going to aggravate the vata more, and the vihara should be followed as well for the vata.
Makes total sense.
And like in this era, the Sharad Ritu, that means the autumn phase is going. So this is the time of pitta aggravation. So you should not consume the hot and pungent foods.
So even traveling has an aspect of my food and on my whole balance and my whole system. I mean, it's like simple, but still complex.
And this is the transition phase. This is the transition phase. That means the season is changing. This is known as a Ritu Sandhi. So you should not consume food much, because in this season the immunity is very low. The immunity is very low, and so
that's why everyone is getting sick.
That is the reason that in the Ritu Sandhi, that means the phase where two seasons, that means changing of the season, it is known as Ritu Sandhi. So we have a different diet plan of the Ritu Sandhi. It is indicated for the langan, that means for the fasting is indicated. You should consume the light foods, because the digestive strength is low, the immunity is low, and if you're going to take the food, that won't be digested properly and going to give you the health issues. That's why it's common in this Ritu Sandhi. And in India, we have the Navratri, that means the 9 nights, and people like go for the 9 days fasting. So this already indicating the culture to have a 9 days fasting like that. Maybe somebody is following intermediate fasting. Somebody is like fasting for whole day, maybe taking the food in the night. So this has already been indicated and mentioned in the Ayurveda.
That's interesting. So you do that every season, like when the seasons is changing, those 9 days?
Yes,
Wow.
it's like that only. Like we have each year, we have like in India, we have 6 seasons. So usually the people are falling for that. That means in the month of March and April and in this October. That means the autumn feast and during March and April. So like during these two times we have the Ritu Sandhis and we are following the diet and the viharas to keep the body healthy.
I love it. I love it.
That's already been researched and so many research papers have already been published about it. So you can have an overview about it. So yes, it makes sense
It, yeah,
to
it,
keep the
yeah.
body healthy.
The more we talk about it, the more it makes sense. Literally, the more it like it's eye-opening even for me to say, "Oh, interesting. I never thought it from that aspect." So thank you so much for sharing all that wisdom. And yeah, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Shantanu, for that
Thank you
open
so much,
conversation.
Anja. Thank you so much,
Welcome.
Anja, for inviting me.
Thanks for coming. I'd like to have you here. I'm already excited for our next topic then.
I'm always there.